Hey, good morning, everyone. I want to start. We just, your missions team just got back from Honduras last night, roughly 1 a.m. this morning. And I want to first just say thank you to all of you who prayed for us, who gave towards it, and items and monetarily, financially. You have made a huge impact, and we're going to try to start unpacking some of that during service next Sunday. I don't want to do it a disservice this quickly, but there were some amazing things happened. The team was truly touched. Probably one of the best teams we've ever taken when it comes to chemistry, cohesion, people just ready to do whatever, whenever, breaking outside of their comfort zones. And speaking of which, I want to invite, keep coming up here, Daniel Guerrero. Come on up here. We don't normally do this. Give him a round of applause. We don't normally do this right here, but I thought this is a God moment, and you guys need to hear from Daniel all that you, the love that you have set in place here in this house, what it has done and how infectious it has been in a healthy way. And so, Daniel, would you just share just a second?
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I just want to thank Pastor Nathan for believing in me and everybody here too. I want to thank all of y'all for all y'all support, y'all's prayers. It's been a rough year, but I'm here, and I just want to thank all of y'all for just the support and the love. But I also wanted to make a quick announcement. This Friday at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 9, I will be me and my fiance Stephanie Duarte. She will be the Miss Guerrero pretty soon. And I just wanted to invite the whole Thrive Community Church. This morning I wasn't here, but all those online and the ones in the morning that did come to pass the word, I would like to invite all of y'all to the ceremony and reception. It's going to be here at Thrive, and y'all are more glad. We'll welcome y'all and love for y'all to be here.
Thank you, Daniel. He just got back with us on the mission from the mission trip, and last Sunday we were out and we were ministering at a church there in Honduras, La Entrada, and there was a time of ministry, a lot of needs, of course, and I asked Daniel to translate something that I felt was from the Lord for the service for the congregation, and then Daniel asked if he could say something, and he said something, and then I think the Holy Spirit just took over, and he basically became the evangelist of the house, and I said, this is good, I can get out of the way, And that's what good leadership does right there, by the way. We're here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, not get in the way of the saints. And so that's the house. And that's what happens in a house like that. You see that there's fertile soil for people, the seeds of God to grow and people to grow in the Lord. And that is the goal for the church and the body of Christ. Another attribute of that, I want to introduce a friend, but another attribute of that, we always give as sons and daughters, and we always give you an opportunity at the end of service, as sons and daughters, we bring in tithes and offerings, and that's how we're able to do everything that we get to do that changes lives. Here, Honduras, and wherever the Lord leads us and guides us, Israel even as well. Well, tithes and offerings, I want to tell you, because sometimes people think, well, it didn't work for me. Then you did it from the wrong heart, one. And it does work for you if you allow God to work in your life. And the way what tithes and offerings are seeds planted. However, they have to be planted in good soil, the proper soil. And what we're going to talk to you about today, this real talk series, come on, surely it'll work. I need to wait. I'm a little in too much of a hurry over here. There, they've got it. For perfect. This Real Talk series came out of our Easter services where we ask you questions. What's in your heart? What is really, what matters to you? What would you like to know more about? And so that's where this series came about. What we're talking about today, and this is the fertile ground, is stewardship, how to steward your finances. Would you give me a warm welcome for Carrie Heiss? Carrie's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for years now, and we've played golf, and he's better than me, but he lets me win. This guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to finances, and stewardship is in all areas of life. It's just today we're going to hone in on finances with Carrie. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. What an honor. What an honor. Thank you, Nathan. You and Allie are special to us. We're blessed to get to know them through the church network and then traveling Israel together. And y'all are led well with good hearts. And the rest of your serve team, Shauna, Yvette back there, I must have sent her 4,227 revisions for something you're supposed to be able to do in 30 minutes, which is kind of trouble. So let's jump in. I think who is more important than what, and why is more important than how. And so a little who for me, I'm a very slowly recovering redneck from West Texas. Kathy gave me a little warning, and I've been married long enough to know that her spirit is sensitive to stuff. So when I say I'm a redneck, if I happen to accuse anyone of being redneckish in the crowd, that's like a term of honor where I grew up. I mean, the rest of the world just don't get it, you know, just don't get it. And what I can prove is West Texas rednecks, where I grew up, a little town called Sheffield, Texas, 367 people in it. We moved to Big Spring. I thought that was East Texas. And then I married an East Tennessee girl, and they got rednecks in East Tennessee. And then now we have family in East Texas. Well, they got East Texas rednecks. And so rednecks like a language. It's like the only true culture with class, in my oh-so-humble opinion. But it does breed an interesting brand of male. Raise your hand, ladies, if you're married. How many of you suspect your husband was dropped repeatedly as a child? Kathy suspects I was spiked, not just dropped. You spend time around me, you're going to start praying for Kathy. It's true. And I'm not saying that, you know, rednecks are different, but I'm not only just a never recovering redneck. I have 2 science degrees. That's the public version. The private version is I smoked so much dope and drank so much alcohol in college, I only need 3 hours to have 2 degrees. So I stand before you, and I mean this seriously, very high. There's no greater honor, number one, just to be entrusted with a precious platform that Father has built through the hearts of godly men and women. But I was offered the title of sonship when I was 10 years old, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I pursued a higher title, thinking that there was one. There is no higher title than son and daughter. None. So I'm going to say a prayer here in a minute. We're going to jump into some stuff. Any resources I will leave. And if there's anything I say, all the good stuff is not mine. It was stolen from somebody. But if there are any good resources, please reach out through your leadership. But just think about that for a minute. A West Texas cotton farming redneck with science degrees. So we worry about weird stuff. Like, for example, if it's glue, why doesn't it stick to the inside of the bottle? I mean, this will really help you financially. This is some deep stuff. I don't see any note taken. So how about this redneck from Sheffield? He called in. His wife's having breathing problems. They say, we need to send an ambulance. You live at Eucalyptus Street. What, spell your street. It's not coming across on a... Spell Eucalyptus. And the cotton farmer says, can I just drag her to Oak and Main and you meet us there? So you may have to translate what I have to say. But here's the deal. No good. I love this series that you're in, and no good message, in my opinion. You need a problem for there to be a message to solve the problem. Otherwise, you're just cramming information down people that don't want to hear it. And so the problem with finances is the finances aren't the problem. The problem is the way things work in the kingdom make nonsense to the world. And the way that, so the worldly nonsense, or the worldly vision and the world view, I snuck a look at your calendar. It looks like you're going to be talking about this, Pastor Nathan, here in a few weeks, the worldview versus the kingdom view. There's the problem. And so I was 100% present in all of my financial mistakes. And that's what I bring to you today, is the ability to don't do what I did. Now, it's pretty hard to learn from other people's experience. You can tell your young child, fire hot, don't touch that. Fire hot, burn boy, don't touch that. When do they learn the fire's hot? Yeah. So I'm going to bring you some principles. First, we're going to talk about the big problem. Then we're going to show you some tangible things that you can do financially about it. Just some real world practicality. And then we'll be done. And so what an honor to be here. Let's say a quick prayer together. Father, we love you. You gave us a clue, if we'll read it in your word, and you gave us multiple translations and recent translation of the quote unquote Lord's Prayer. Father, you said, Jesus said, beloved Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms. But we seldom stop there and just read on. And you drew a line and you made it clear when you put those words in your son that there is another realm. There is another way things work. There is a kingdom realm separate from the physical realm. And it's subservient to the kingdom realm. And so we acknowledge that today, that you are king, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And Father, finally, remove from me my judgmental nature and my preachiness, and bring from me my story wrapped with your words. Move me out of the way, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's what we do to solve finances. It's three simple things. Number one, focus on God. People will benefit. Stuff will be consumed. So already there's the problem, because if you focus on money, that's stuff. And it's going to be consumed. How many of you have had some of your stuff consumed? I've been a business owner for 30 years. I've talked with Sean. I understand there's a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs in this whole area. And I get it. I had a $40 million business wiped out in 46 days when the federal government decided to change rules, and boom, gone. Wish I'd have known that my stuff was designed to be consumed. I didn't have that point number three. I had that point number one. And so focus on God, people benefit, and your stuff gets consumed. How many of you have ever heard, or in fact, Shauna and her husband, I understand, both have pensions from military. Thank them and thank you for those of you who have served our country. I honor that. A pension is something that's gone in the workaday world. A pension got replaced by something called the 401k, and there's nothing wrong with a 401k, but a pension is a guaranteed lifetime income. My parents, my mom was my kindergarten teacher, and my dad was my principal. Yeah, and see, it's their fault that I smoked all that weed and drank all that liquor, because it's the first time I could skip school without death. My dad said, here's what'll happen. We have two rules. If you skip school, you'll die at school. I'll kill you in front of your friends, but then I'm gonna kill you again at home. And we didn't have this sewer called the internet back then to find out he'd go to prison for that. So yes, sir. So I'm a victim. It's not my fault. Not my fault that I took 7 years to get a four-year education. Sounds a lot better to go, I almost have 2 degrees. So anyway, focus on God. And what happens is there's a tension that's been kind of hidden in Scripture. And let's put that Deuteronomy Scripture up there, please. This is something, you know, you got to be careful when you Google, because you're basically sticking your head in the sewer, right? And to Nathan's point about tithing and the seed, every planted seed wants to grow. It's a principle that Father put, it's a kingdom principle. Every planted seed wants to grow. So you got to be careful when you're Googling around in the sewer, right? And you don't have to bathe in it to smell like it. You just get around it and you can smell like it. Anybody run cattle? Point made, right? Don't have to touch them. You smell like it. And so be careful what you look at. But Google Deuteronomy and Charles Spurgeon, and you find out that in Deuteronomy, let's go ahead and dive into this. He's describing land here. Father's describing land from where you came, where you sowed your seed and watered it with the foot. And apparently what they did, they had to irrigate, because in that section of Egypt, in the Nile, there were no hills. So to move water to grow crops so you wouldn't die, they had these little bicycle-like pumps. It was like hard work. And let's read the last of this, or the next part of this verse. Go ahead, Yvette. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. What happens to water in a hill? Flows downhill. So all of a sudden there's a supernatural principle, a kingdom principle put into work where, and I'm not saying that you're going to lay around and money's going to attack. You know, when I train new agents for our firm, I tell them that they need to be somewhat assertive, you know, because man or woman will stand on side of mountain for a long time with mouth open, waiting for roasted duck to fly in. This is deep stuff. You should be writing this down. That's a major. So I'm not saying that we lay around and collect a pension. It's a heart thing, like Nathan said earlier. When your heart's right, you're on a pension, and it's a kingdom pension. And so what I can prove with my story is this is an orbit. This is an orbit. I do literally have almost a degree in geophysics and geology. I have the geology degree and 3 hours from geophysics. So there is some physics in this. I apologize. But whatever you orbit around produces three things. It produces magnetism. It produces protection, and it establishes a trajectory. And I'm sorry, I write in Hebrew. It's pretty hard to read my writing. And so if I place money at the center of my orbit, I'm attracting money. How many of you have attracted a lot of money? It's just it went out the other side, right? So you attract money, so what's going to protect you? What's your orbit around? So money's going to be your protection. Good luck with that. And the trajectory of your life is going to be this deal or that deal or whatever else, and you might wind up with a lot of money and no friends or destroyed relationships and such. And so what's meant to be the orbit point, this kingdom pension that is available, is when you orbit around Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, you've got three things to create magnetism, three things to give you a protective field, and three things to help you develop the trajectory of your life. I can use Mother Earth, as they like to say. I can use the Earth as an example. The Earth orbits. The orbit of the Earth produces a magnetic field. A magnetic field projects us from most of the worst rays that the sun has. This is physics, and I'm a recovering redneck scientist, so you can trust me. Produces magnetism, it establishes projection, and our trajectory of the Earth is predictable. So mimic this with the kingdom, because here's the problem. I'm going to draw a line. Here's the realm of eternity. And here's the realm of the temporary. And if you focus on the temporary, it won't make sense in the kingdom. The language of the kingdom is daughter and son. That's Father's language. Now, I was well into my 40s before I understood that concept of the protection available to me as a son. Jesus was my Savior when I was 10 years old. Praise God for that little Baptist church. But you could not show excitement in that church. They would convene the deacons and you were in trouble. And I praise God. It's not a put down. I'm just a terminal smart aleck. And let me say this. If I offend you, I won't take it back. I just didn't mean to offend you. Okay? Because I believe it's truth. But I didn't mean to be offensive. It's just a gifting. I have a magnetic personality. Unfortunately, the poles get reversed regularly and it repels. So please forgive me. Again, I mean, this is one of the highest honors offered to me, that Nathan and Allie would entrust me with this platform that Father has built through them. And so I sincerely don't mean to be offensive. I just seem to be good at it. And so we got to keep our focus up here. This is where the pension is. This is where the solution is. So you don't have a money problem. You probably have a focus problem. How cool would it be? Which verse was it I was looking at? Oh, Psalm 16. I think I gave you that. How cool would it be to get King David's Bible, I get it, scrolls, his personal scrolls that he highlighted. These are the really good ones. How cool would that be? How cool would it be to get Allie's Bible that's hers, that's treasure to her, that she's highlighted and noted? And how cool would it be? How about Nate, you know, wouldn't it be cool to get some of these leaders, these, I call them the hairy-legged rednecks of the Bible? David was a pretty hairy-legged guy. He's a pretty salty dude. Well, we have them. If you get enough translations of the Bible, some of the Psalms are elevated. It's almost like this one was real special to David's heart. This one was real special to David's heart. Keep me safe, Almighty God. I run to you, my safe place. Next part. I said to Yahweh. Is Yahweh God? Let's punch pause for a second. Raise your hand if you're married. How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say? Just curious. Raise your hand if you're married. Okay. How many of you, brave enough to keep your hand up, you have those special little pet names for each other? Schmoogum. Honey bun. Who's bold enough to share? Give me one of yours. Honey buns. Do you know there's 78 names, depending on who you read and study and believe, 78 names for God? Please don't take offense to this as I'm talking to me. You have any pet names for Father? Is God the best you got? This is the King of the universe. Wants a relationship with you. And so I said to Yahweh, two names in one psalm for God. That's a man that's focused on God. You are my maker and master. Let's go forward. Any good thing you found. And he said to me, my holy lovers in the land are my glorious ones who fulfill all my desires. Next. Yet there are those who yield. Next one. Yahweh, you alone are my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. Where is King David focused? Who protected him? Who did he ever lose against? The trajectory of his life. Did he screw up? Did he screw up big time? I mean, us hairy-legged guys are so good at that. But he's a man after my own heart, is what Father said. Kept his focus here. So move your focus, and I think you'll find a lot of solution for finances. We're going to jump into a quick PowerPoint. We're going to look at some tangible things that maybe I can help you with on finances. But just remember this, and Pastor Nathan said, "You spew, I'll clean it up." And I guess maybe he did already know me, because I can spew, projectile spew sometimes. I mean, it's not pretty. So I'm just going to be blunt. Please don't take offense unless Father tells you this is a problem. Remember, I just prayed, take Carrie out of this. That's my fear, is that I put too much Carrie in this. So let me just tell you this, zero tithe, zero offerings means you cannot be focused on God. Now, I know that's a little bit tough, but I can't marinate it to make it any softer. Zero tithe equals zero focus. Now, I'm a business owner. I have been for 30 plus years. I get it. I got a business to run, but I have a former business partner that sat down in a room with me and said, "I know you got this Christian thing going, and I am too, but I got a business to run." I'm proud to say that's a former business partner. You cannot compartmentalize, Father. You cannot compartmentalize. Now, you don't have to, "Father, do I need to go to the bathroom, or are you trying to tell me something?" You don't have to pray about every little thing. I understand when you have a business to run, you got a business to run, but not compartmentalized. So let's jump into a couple of tangible things here, and let's look at them. The title of this is A Kingdom Pension, Purpose and Peace with Your Finances. And so let's go ahead, Yvette. I found this at when I'm an investment advisor representative. That basically means when you call a Schwab or a Fidelity or any one of these big national companies that advertises with $1 billion a year, I'm one of those poor geeks, okay? And this is in a continuing education class that I was taking, and I was looking at this list, and I thought, this is proof that there is a challenge that Pastor Nathan said, "Hey, during this series, this could plant some good seed in my sons and daughters." The first three are obviously what everybody's focusing the most time on. And the ones that provide for financial peace and purpose are the leftover change. We don't think about how we can plant seeds. Let's go ahead, next slide. I like David, it's not on the slide here, I didn't put it on, but I like maybe my all-time favorite quote is a Dave Ramsey quote. Dave Ramsey said, "Send your money to work, you go take a nap." Yeah. By the way, if you're over 50, did we mess up in second grade letting them take that nap away? Was that like a tactical error? Dang, is there nothing better than an afternoon nap? Kathy loves golf on TV because it's great nap, you know, as they talk like very, very soft. So send your money to work. Let me give you an example of that. Go ahead, Yvette, please. And please don't take this wrong. I'm not here fishing for clients. I showed this in the first service. I got to thinking, wow, that came across wrong. I just wanted to show you a real client's in 1 year, they're in the top right, it says 1 year, their money farm earned 9.86%. The purpose of this slide is I want you to think of your finances, focus on God, but how do I benefit as a people? The benefit is you've got to get a money farm going, otherwise you're restricted to the 24-hour day. Who has more hours in the day, Elon Musk or you? Oh, they would be the same hours, wouldn't it? So how does he get billions accomplished? And I'm not using him. I mean, I don't know about his morality, and I certainly don't know about his spiritual life. But my point is, we're talking about tangible things I can do, something I can put to work in the next 3 months, Mr. Heiss. Build a money farm. That's all it is. I mean, think about how good a parallel that is. Can you plant seeds in the ground and do things to prohibit or inhibit their growth? Can you slow a seed's development down? Sure you can. You can do the wrong things to it. Can you do some things to speed the growth up and enhance the growth? And so that's back to focusing on Father, because your seeds are protected, because you're orbiting around Father, not orbiting around the seed. Every planted seed wants to grow. You don't stand over a corn seed and go, cotton, unless you're dumb, right? Have you ever seen a seed just trying to grow? No, they're designed to grow. The tithe seed will bless you because it places you into above the line of the temporary, in the place of the eternal. Now, you are tethered, and I'll end with this here in a minute, but you are tethered to your mind, will, body, and emotions, and that's the problem, because anything that we tether, anything mind, will, and emotions, that doggone tether does what? It goes back and forth. All I got to do is drive around in Dallas, and I do some of the best backsliding known to man. Okay? So keep your focus here. People will be the benefit. And I just wanted to just see this slide to show you that with zero time input, your farm grows. Okay? So what types of farms? Let's go ahead. Maybe this will help clear a few things up. This is ginormously, you know, and my wife's from East Tennessee. When something's really big, it's called Mama Hooney. Isn't that a cool word? So this is a Mama Hooney point. This is a big picture point here. These are basics that we should have come out of high school with, quite candidly, but we don't seem to. I know I didn't. So on the far left, everyone can have one of these, or two of these, or three of these. It's called an investment or brokerage account. How old is this? That Yahweh guy. Pretty old, okay? Everyone can have one of those. Everyone should have one or more of those. Now, you're going to pay some taxes. To whom is Caesar, render to Caesar. You're gonna pay taxes. How many of you don't have any problem with taxes if you just weren't paying 12 or 13 other people taxes, right? So I already paid taxes. The pension, the 401k, and the IRA came along much later. The pension's about gone unless you work in some kind of, like if you're a teacher, police officer, fireman, work for a county, work for a city, they still have pensions. But those were established in the years you see there. Those are what's called deferred taxation. In other words, I'm going to park my money over here, and I don't have to pay taxes on the money that I put in here until I take that money out. How many of you want some of that? Every dollar you put into an IRA, if you put $8,000 a year into an IRA, I think that's the current limit. If you put $8,000 a year into an IRA, you lowered your taxable income by $8,000. Pre-tax savings accounts, pre-tax investment accounts are the cheapest way to farm, because you don't send the first. And where are we supposed to send the first? Yeah, so we don't send the first to Washington. We send the first to our savings account after you tithe on it, in my oh-so-humble but ever-so-accurate opinion. And then we get the Roth IRA. I was talking with Sean about this. I call the Roth IRA tax system the unicorn tax system, because when I describe it to people, they're like, nah, that doesn't exist. Generally speaking, there's a five-year little rule, but generally speaking, the money you put in a Roth IRA, you'll never pay taxes on it again or its growth. It exists. It's true. It's not a unicorn. So next slide. And again, if these are any resource, we'll get them in your hands. But if you focus on God, people are going to be who's going to benefit. Stuff's going to get consumed. We're going to talk about that next. But which one of those types of money farms can I have? And so this is, again, Mama Hooney sized picture. If you're employed, you may have something called a 401, which is great. And Roths, you're eligible. There are some income limits. IRAs, you're eligible. There's some income limits. But nobody can limit your investment savings. Hadn't thought about that. That's pretty good. Isn't it funny that the oldest type of farm, the investment account, was established by Father, and no one can tell you you can't have one. But all the ones established by men, everything else, have rules. Surprise, surprise. So I understand there's a lot of self-employed out here. Not surprised at all. Business owners. I are them. Business owners and self-employed, it's a special kind of whooping, isn't it? And nothing you do is, you know, life is a somewhat orchestrated butt-kicking. Unless you go into ministry. Then it's a highly orchestrated butt-kicking. So you're gonna battle against those rulers, principalities, but there is one king. I know it's a political season. I'm not trying to be political, but we ain't electing a king. Now, this is a problem in and of itself. Quick story. Kathy and I used to own some franchise-like businesses. We were blessed well beyond our maturity. We traveled to Europe. We had a half a day in London. So we thought, let's get one of those hackney things, cabs, and go all around London. And so we're running around having a good time, and all of a sudden, two motorcycle cops stop our hackney right in front of us, like right where you're at. And they don't carry guns at this time in London, but these motorcycle cops, vest, AR-5, I mean, they were loaded. I'm glad we stopped. Out of a corner street comes a Bentley about this far off the ground because it was lead plated, and our hackney driver started squealing like a little girl. Ooh, it's a Royal. It's a Royal. And Kathy and I are like, now, Clint Eastwood, okay. Jack Nicholas. Years later, after I discovered sonship, I was laying one morning worshiping, and I thought, I'm hosed. My Western world does not understand kingship. I should have been a little more respectful of that royal. Now, they're clearly flesh and blood royal, but my point is, we don't live in a kingdom. Or do we? Those little bumper stickers and windows, not of this world. We're not. But it's hard. And I should have been a little more humbled. Boy. That would fit on a tombstone, wouldn't it? I should have been a bit more humble. We've been in the presence of royalty. In this room, today. So, let me wrap up with the third point and close this out. Your stuff's going to be consumed. Sometimes it's a painful consumption. 22 years ago, we bought a company, and it was internet-based, and it was pre.com. We were going to get rich, and I swear it was in the contract where I was going to get better looking. I promise it was there. Nathan, you're a seasoned entrepreneurial thinking guy. I should have had you review that contract. You could have said, Kerry, the better looking's not in there. Got up to worth about $40 million. We owned, Kathy and I, about 40%. And see, if your stuff's going to be consumed, best to surrender it now. And we had a guy come in who wanted to buy into ownership. We had the opportunity to, wouldn't have been seven figures, but it would have been a nice, healthy six figures. Oh, I ain't giving up my ownership. Nathan, you give up yours. Man. Three-year-old. 3-year-olds do that. Don't be a 3-year-old more than once. I was a 3-year-old 20 days ago, 18 days ago. Pretty big size deal. Looked like it had gone south. I'm like, my day was wrecked. And then I happened to see the notes I was preparing to come talk to y'all. This is not a one-time decision. Probably going to have to redo it. So I got to, how many of you guys, be honest, you like the melon crunching movies? Guys are kitting up 4 AR-15s, 3 Glocks. It's real hairy-legged to say the word surrender. It's real popular, isn't it? For you ladies, it's about as popular as submission. Yeah, sign me up for that one. But if you focus it on God and understand that people will benefit, then it won't bother you quite so bad when the stuff gets consumed. So David, King David was a pretty hairy-legged guy, right? How often did he lose battles? I think Psalm 139, though, might be his most hairy-legged comment. He says this, "Search me, O God." There's a manly prayer. There's a true lady, woman prayer. "Search me, O God." So, you want freedom from finances. You want the keys to a kingdom pension. Talk about orchestrating. You're going to hear a wonderful story. Pastor Nathan shared it this morning. I know he'll share it again when he reports on everything that happened from this mission trip. But he orchestrated this amazing thing. The years between that was, what, 12 years, you said? So I was thinking, man, would it be presumptuous of me to get in touch with the worship team and the leadership and say, hey, I keep a list of bottom line songs that fit with this talk? And I thought, I'm not going to step over that line. The number one song. On that list, this is their last song. I had no idea. But the King of the universe knew that. And you know what's no fun is to not believe that. You know what is so much fun is Father up there going, watch this. I'm going to put in her heart and her heart and his heart. And the reason I love that song is because it's the bottom line. There's a bunch of them. Get alone sometime this week and do a YouTube search and play the song, "Draw Me Close." Draw me close to you. You're all I want. I've sung that and not meant it. Surrender is the key. And this song, "You Didn't Want Heaven Without Us." I don't know of a more bottom line message. So, Father, spread your hand, which is mighty, and your reach, which comes from eternity, into this room, into these hearts, into these little bitty sons and daughters and these bigger sons and daughters, and bless them financially. Put their hand to work so that they cannot collect all of the blessing. We can't help enough people if all we have is what we need. We need blessings. So I pray that over these precious people. I pray that they would find you in a position of strength and intimacy. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Can we give them a hand, please?